Today on Real Life Radio.
I'm not saying go out and be a loser. I'm saying go out there and be a winner, yes, but when you do lose, and you will lose, I will lose. Difficulty will come. Can you give that to Christ? Can you leave that in the hand of God and understand His nature, that He is for you even when you and I lose?
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message called Get Smart. You know, the Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as really only Luke the physician could do. Here now, in the beginning verses of chapter 13, we consider how to open our eyes to the things of the Lord. You know, a lot of Christians willfully neglect God's nature and often draw their own conclusions about what's happening around them. There's no doubt all of us prefer comfort over conviction and encouragement over challenges, but there are things we need to get smart about. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that death was never a part of God's plan. But when suffering and death comes, we need to pause and reconsider things. Are we ready? Jesus is seen more clearly from the trenches of life and not so much from the tranquility of ease and comfort. But before we get into today's message, did you know that Pastor Jack has a weekly devotional? And it's sure to help you in your walk with God. Join the thousands of Real Life Radio listeners who've been blessed by Pastor Jack's devotional. Get it at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Now, with his message called Get Smart, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
When I was in high school, my coach wanted me to try out for pole vault. I thought that was a sick idea. But I loved the coach. I hated pole vaulting. I loved the coach, hated pole vaulting. So for the coach, I tried it. Okay? Did I want to make it over the top? Of course. People are watching. And I wanted to do it for him because he believed in me, even though I didn't believe in myself to make it over the top, nor did I really care to make it over the top. But when it became a track meet, I found myself very interested in myself to make it over the top. And so you run down and you plant that and you go up and I missed it. Why? After the meet, he told me everything as to where I was deficient. You were not running hard enough. You were not running strong enough. When you planted too soon and you lost momentum. And when you went, you didn't lean back far enough. He showed me all those things. God says to us, Jack, I love you so much. I can even say, Lord, I love you too. And he says, okay, great. Now there's the Ten Commandments. Here's the stick. Take a run. And as I run and I plant, I've got all these things that keep me from making it over the top. I didn't make it. And he sits me down. And he says, this is what happened, Jack. You are prone to lustful thoughts or aggression, or you are prone to whatever. And my Bible says, thou shalt not this, thou shalt not that, thou shalt not the other. Are you with me, everybody? You're deficient in that area. And when I throw down the pole and I, oh no, what must I do to make it over the top? That's when he says, I tell you what, hang on to me. Get on my back. I'm going to show you something. He runs down, plants that pole, and over the top. In fact, not only over the top, we just keep going straight into heaven. How do I get there? Hanging on to him. He did it, I cannot. The moment you see that, when you read Romans 3:23, you say, yes. Oh yeah, I love that. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But that's not where the Bible ends. You see, he did it for us. Which leads us to this in verse 3. So what are we to do? Jesus said, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. You guys, their heads must have started spinning at that moment. They came to him saying, hey, Jesus, a couple of months ago, remember that situation? They must have been big sinners, I bet you. Jesus says, that's what you think? No way. Now watch this. He just takes them right straight down to the rubber meeting the road. Jesus said, I'm telling you something. Unless you repent, you're going to perish also. What does that mean? They must have been shocked to hear him say that. He is saying, church, listen carefully. It's not how you die. You see, what happens if you burn to death in a car accident? Oh, my. Versus someone falls asleep and dies in their sleep. In our human logic, oh, the one who fell asleep and then died, that's a merciful death. Thus, God must love them more. No, sir. Things happen in this life no matter how you and I die. Jesus turns to them and says, the way you die is not the issue. Do you see this? It's not the issue. It's, are you ready to die? That's his point. Get smart. Are you ready to die? Christianity celebrates life. We don't go around cutting people's heads off. We don't blow people up. We give them the words of eternal life. We celebrate life. Our God is life. We want people to live. And that message of the cross and of Christ and the resurrection of Jesus is so powerful that if you believe it, if you get on the back of that truth, you will have eternal life. And Jesus is saying, are you ready to die? He warns them, you're going to perish physically. You're going to die just like they died suddenly. Notice both these accounts are sudden deaths. They were killed at the altar and they were killed by a falling pillar. And Jesus is saying, are you ready? This word repent, nobody likes to say this word anymore. I'm tired of being tempted to apologize for the word repent. Satan whispers in my ear, Jack, don't say the word repent because people won't come back. Oh, that's very demonic. The word repent is an old English word, true. Metanoia is the word in the Greek, and it means to turn your ship around. It's a nautical term. Turn the boat around. Not 90 degrees, by the way. It means 180 degrees. Turn your boat around. So when the Bible says repent, it means to turn around the way that you think. Turn your life around. All you do is turn. It's a willful decision that you and I are to make. Jesus said, I'm telling you guys, it's the suddenness of their death that you ought to be concerned about because it could happen to you. Are you ready? And so the word repentance, to change your mind. I don't want to belabor this. I can't. We don't have the time. Listen carefully to this. If somebody gets caught doing something wrong and they start crying about it, listen, this is a trick question. If somebody gets caught doing something and they start crying about it, is that repentance? You may want it to be repentance. In fact, the Bible says Esau sought. Esau wept when he got busted. He wept with strong crying, but he did not repent. Judas was very, very bummed he got caught, but he did not repent. Repentance is an intellectual, moral decision. It is irregardless of emotion. Oh, look, he's crying. He must be very repentful. I am not mocking emotions, but you can't trust them. They're very, very unpredictable. Well, how do I know if I repented? Listen, repentance towards sin is to change your mind, to say, I don't want to live like this anymore. God, I've sinned against you. Watch. And I am now today recognizing that's the wrong way to go. I'm living in the wrong direction. And in the act of repentance, it's twofold. You stop, you turn around, and in turning around, you embrace Christ. Okay? You cannot be saved, you cannot be going to heaven unless you repent. You have to agree with God that what is going on in your life is wrong against the Bible, against God. And because that is so, intellectually, you reckon that. And morally, you say, I'm not living this way anymore. And in turning from it, salvation takes place because you cling to Christ. You turn from something to Christ. Some of you, I'm not saying, I don't know any of you. I mean, I know many of you. I'm not picking on you right now. This morning, it could be very, very true in your life that you're always very sorry. I'm so sorry. And you get up and you do the same thing over and over again. And you don't even care about it until you get busted. And then you go, I'm so sorry. You have not repented. you are still lost in the grip of that sin. But a Christian comes and says, Lord, I am sorry, and I today determine that that is evil in my life, and I don't want it anymore. And here's where the power comes. Lord, save me. And he saved you. And how do you know? Yes, Pastor, how do I know? Because that sin or sins that reside in our lives, you will hate it. Will you still do it? Oh, you'll still do it. It will become less and less controlling in your life. It will be less and less powerful. It will, time after time, begin to diminish the power of it. But you hate it now. And you want nothing to do with it. And you begin to say, Lord, I need your help. Are you with me? Do you understand? This is vital. My friend, if you're deceiving yourself on this point, you don't have Christ. You're just habitually sorry all the time, and you've never turned from your ways. Jesus is saying, turn now, or else you'll perish as suddenly as they did. Those are strong words. The Bible tells us in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the attribute of God to extend to us forgiveness. Even though in the midst of atrocities, those things come from the hand of man, driven by sin, God extends his awesome attribute of love towards us. Lamentations 3:25. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. The soul who seeks him, it will see good. And that one who hopes in him will wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. That's Lamentations 3:25 and 6. And then Nahum 1:7 says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows those who trust in him.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Acts 3:19. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Point number two this morning, verses 4 and 5, get smart regarding accidents. Accidents will happen in life. Atrocities, people will come against us. But accidents, they could be accidents. Somebody drives their car into your car. That's not an atrocity, that's an accident. Or an earthquake could come, knock this building flat down, and we all perish. Hey, I'd rather die in church than some hospital bed. Pastor, don't say that. You're going to scare me. Listen, we will pay taxes and we will die unless the rapture comes. So pray that the rapture comes, right? But the truth of the matter is this, that accidents happen. And where's God in this? Where's God in this? The ship sank after it hit the iceberg. Where's God in this? Oh, he's right there. Accidents happen, my friend. This is a world that is sold into sin, the Bible says. Evil is all around us. It's going on all the time. It's so funny when something happens, we say a hurricane or a tornado, and the insurance company says, an act of God. We don't pay in acts of God. God gets blamed for everything that we don't like. Should say an act of Satan or the act of sin in this world. When God, did you ever read about a hurricane in the Garden of Eden? You ever see Adam and Eve walking around naked in an earthquake? No, that sounds like us though. An earthquake, we're running out of bed like, oh my goodness. In the Garden of Eden, it was perfect. Sin happened, and then everything has been unwinding ever since. Wow, accidents, they're gonna happen. Well, look what he says, verse 4. Or on the 18, isn't that awesome? He knows exactly, that's how public this thing was known. 18 people died at the tower. Tower in Siloam fell and killed them. Do you think that they were worse sinners than all those who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. This had to shock them. My friend, death is native to this world. I want to stress that. Death is native to this world. You and I are spiritual creatures. We are body, soul, and spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says so. That's why you want to live. That's why heaven is so attractive. It's eternal life. That's why Jesus and the message is so beautiful. He rose from the dead. How can you not want that message? It's hope eternal. When you go to a funeral, by the way, have you noticed how a funeral comes about? You are either in the funeral, dead, or you're going to the funeral. Okay? How does that happen? You won't say to me this morning, you know, next week I'm going to go to a funeral. Oh, somebody died? No. I'm just going to go to a funeral. No, you won't. You won't say that. You don't want to do that. You want to get near that stuff. Why? Because you want to live. Death is an invader. Even doctors, scientists will tell you the human body has the capability of every 7 years rejuvenating itself. That if it had a perfect environment, it would just continue on. Did you know that? Did you know your heart was built to pump forever? It doesn't have an expiration date on it. It's because what you and I are, we were made, as it were, in Eden through our original mom and dad. But then sin came into the world. And the Bible says when sin came in, death came in. And so when you think of death, and it's such a shocker, oh no, so-and-so died, I got to change my schedule, I've got to stop everything, I got to get on an airplane, I got to go because they died. It's an interruption, is it not? Death is an inescapable reality in this world. And Jesus is saying, listen, are you ready for it? You know that it's true, that it's going to happen in this world. But the Bible also says that he who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, though he were dead, yet shall he live. What an awesome thing that is. If you died today, we're all going to be hovering around you. Oh, look at him. Look at him. You're not there. Do you understand that? I mean, it looks like you. I mean, that's how we talk to you. Look at him. It's him. It's not him. This was just the body he used. The part of the real person is gone in an instant into eternity. Somebody will say death is just a part of life. I hate hearing that. Death is an invader. But because we live in a world, this world of death, Jesus said, be ready. You don't know how you're going to perish or when. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then suffering. Suffering has a purpose. Jesus says in verse 5, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will likewise perish. He says the same thing again. He stresses it a second time. Suffering. Suffering is an interesting thing because a man or a woman will either draw closer to God because of suffering or push him away further. Did you know that? Suffering is like in our lives like a clay vessel. If you put a clay vessel, dependent upon the type of clay, it will either harden in the sunlight or with touch, with the warmth of a hand, massaging that clay, it will loosen up and become pliable. Suffering in your life and my life, it either makes us bitter towards God, or better towards God. Very interesting. Why do I bring that up? Because Jesus is saying the issue is for you to repent and know that you're going to heaven. In the midst of death or suffering or atrocities or accidents, are you ready to meet heaven? Are you ready to meet God? Are you ready to leave this world? Only through Jesus Christ is that possible. I'm going to give you some verses right now. They'll put them up on the screens, jot these down. You and I will always need these verses. First one is Acts 14:22, and I'll read through these very fast. And they went out strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, saying to them, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. 1 Peter 2:21, for to this you were called. Oh, really? What is that? Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that we should follow in his steps. It means that we are going to have sufferings in this life. God didn't leave you, my friend. Are you suffering today? He didn't abandon you. Philippians 3:10, Paul prayed, and he knew how to suffer, by the way, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Oh God, he would say, teach me through all that I'm suffering. 1 Peter 5:10, and the God of all grace, who called you into his eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Hope in the midst of suffering. 2 Timothy 3:12, yes, and all those who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Are you suffering? We end with this. Point number three, verses 6-9. It will be quick. Get smart regarding apathy. Apathy has no excuse. Get smart about atrocities. They're not from the hand of God. Get smart about accidents. God will be there to comfort you in your suffering. And get smart about apathy. Apathy is killing the church. It's killing America. What would you say? I don't really care. I'm not listening, Pastor. What? It's exactly you I'm talking about. Apathy has no excuse. God will never swallow an excuse for apathy. Number one, this way, verses 6-7, complacency with God's goodness is called apathy. Apathy is complacency with God's goodness. God is good. Verse 6, he also spoke this parable. Jesus is going to sum it up. A certain man had a fig tree and he planted it in his vineyard and came seeking fruit on it and found no fruit, nothing. Then he said to the keeper of the vineyard, look, for 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree and found none. Cut it down. Why should it encumber the ground any further? That's his prerogative. Is he not the owner? By the way, most scholars and I agree, this is not a parable of none other than God the Father. God the Father is saying, I've come to Israel and the ministry has gone out for 3 years. How long was Jesus ministering to Israel? 3 years. I've come looking for fruit and there's been nothing. That's the prerogative of the Father. That's it. Time's up. And you can't question him about that, by the way. You know what? You may feel like you can. He is God. You and I are not. And the picture is the Father says, that's it. But note this. Note the mercy of God. Note the mercy of God. We better be careful that we are not apathetic against his goodness, because there's a word that comes forth here saying, let me take care of this, and look at the mercy, verse 8. But he, the caretaker, said, sir, this is Jesus speaking. In the parable, it would be the Lord speaking of himself in the parable. The son says, let it alone for this year until I dig around it and fertilize it. The father says, that's it, time's up. The son intercedes and says, Father, wait, give me one more year to work with it. One more year. What a merciful act. And because time doesn't permit, let me say this very quickly. He is interceding on behalf of that tree. When he says, let me dig around it and fertilize it, the word in Greek for dig around, the word dig means to loosen the earth from its roots. Here's why it won't produce fruit. It's got a grip on the earth and not the nutrients. It's grabbing onto the world. Jesus said, give me 1 year, Father. Give me 1 year to work with them. 1 year to break the world away from their roots. And I'll even fertilize it. I'll feed it vitamins. I'll feed it the word of God. And give me 1 year, Father. Doesn't the Bible say that Jesus Christ intercedes for us to the Father? Doesn't the Bible say that there's one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus? Absolutely. His mercy. The Bible says if it wasn't for the mercies of the Lord, we'd all be consumed. Wow. Apathy has no excuse. Jesus is saying, stop pointing your fingers at other people. Well, what about that guy? Did he accept the Lord? Forget that guy. Did you accept the Lord? You say you're a Christian, but there's no prayer life. You say that you're a Christian, but you're not leading people to Christ. You say that you're a Christian, but you're not doing anything that proves that that's true. And Jesus says, Father, wait. Give me one final year with them, and I will dig around the roots of their life, and I will feed them the word of God. And if that doesn't do it, then Father, have at it. You see the difficulty of this verse, of these verses. These are serious things. So my friend, only you can answer this. Are you producing fruit to the glory of God?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Get Smart. Thanks for joining us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey everybody, Pastor Jack here, and we are so excited to give you this announcement. Launching on Pentecost Sunday, May 28th. Listen up, everybody. It's called the Real Life Network. We are tired of being manipulated by the giant media tyrants that are out there, and so we're breaking away. We are doing our own thing in the name of Jesus. God's blessed us to do and launch the Real Life Network, very similar to Netflix, anything like that. We're doing the exact same thing. What's great about it is it's cancel-free, morally based programming, from Bible teaching to children's programming, so much more. It's going to be your Christian place to stop and study and get amazing content. So I'm excited to invite you to go to reallifenetwork.com and sign up. Reallifenetwork.com. Listen, it's all free. That's reallifenetwork.com. Register for free today.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.